All right, friends. Hey, welcome back today on A Heart Refined. We finished up yesterday talking about specifically verse 14 of chapter 4 of the book of James, where it says, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be, for you're like a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes." Our discussion goes as we see that because we feel in our life that we're kind of invincible or immune, and we're sort of set aside in such a way that we get a free pass on how we live, and somehow we're going to be able to live longer than everybody else. And we have all these thoughts in our mind. We see kind of like an old wives' tale, and we have to recognize that we are limited. And not just in knowledge. I think a lot of us can say, oh, I don't know how to do this or the other, and we're fine with that. But then we don't recognize we are limited in time, that God is going to take us off this earth at some point. And so we have a responsibility where we are to be passionate, not obsessed, and we are to be urgent and intentional and follow through on our intention with what it is that He's called us to do in this life. And I started thinking about what is our physical, or, you know, like almost a guttural response to the thought that something you put tons of work into may not be completed because God has other plans for your time or your gifts or your money. So we have this sort of fantastical idea about how long our lives are going to last. And then when God brings something into our path that is an obstacle of some sort, we get annoyed because how dare God bring this in front of me when I was going in such a good path, or how dare the Lord allow my child to become rebellious or me to experience sickness or so on and so forth when I am doing such a good job. You know, I thought it was funny as I was thinking about this that I think that the death of someone else in our lives bothers us far less than God allowing something basic. We are so annoyed by anything that interferes with our plans. We also love to fall into in the world around us. I mean, mourning is correct, and we should mourn as someone dies, but we sort of get into a position of victimhood, and so it supports the agenda that we're driving, and it's sort of a sick, twisted sort of thing there. But if we were to recognize that we are amiss and that the Lord has wonderful plans for us that include obstacles, suffering, tragedy, trauma, chaos, confusion, He uses our humanity and the tools that are of humanity to increase us, to sanctify us, to bring us closer to Him. What a blessing that is. So I want to share here in this something that I've been going through recently. I've let a lot in my inner circle know, but I haven't talked about it publicly because I needed to know more information. But I had a cancer scare. It came out of nowhere. I really believed myself to be perimenopausal and just going through some basic girl stuff. And then I went to the doctor, and one test begot another, and it became really scary. And then I ended up having to have surgery a DNC. And there's many of you who know what that means. It's scraping out of the uterine, the lining, the endometrial lining. And that not only clears up what's in there, but then that they're able to do biopsies. And I did, praise the Lord, receive news that all of that was benign, and that we do have to watch my body and pay attention to make sure that that doesn't come back, and paying attention if we need to do a hysterectomy, just different things like that. But in the midst of that, it was really hard. I'm only 40 years old, and so facing my humanity, it was difficult, but was a great blessing. I can say on the flip side of that now that I've learned a ton of things, and I'll continue to learn what the Lord is going to do with that and how He'll use it. But honestly, as I look at it, one of my biggest problems as I very first started to face that is most of you know my testimony that I'm formerly an addict and an alcoholic. And I was 350 pounds when I overdosed. And so I had to start down a really rigorous journey of reclaiming my health and surrendering my life to the Lord and what He wanted, not just so that I would lose weight, but so that I would become obedient to my God, to my Savior, and to hear the Holy Spirit. And that was very important in that process. So it's a matter of, yes, getting up and being alone with the Lord, but also working out when I didn't feel like it, eating the food that nobody else is eating and doing the things that are really hard. And I lost 175 pounds and now I am a personal trainer and a holistic health coach. I'm a nutrition specialist, so I have the great honor of teaching women. So anyways, I'm saying all that to say I came into this position of I don't think I was ever at a point like shaking my fist at God saying, why did you let me go this far? But still there's a question like, Lord, I really did the hard work. What comes from this? And I felt during the process that he has reminded me that, you know, if you're coming from what I'm talking about here, that food is not my God. Food is not, while it's used as a method of healing, food is not my healer. And he gave me so much clarity and has welcomed my heart even closer to his. And so that's been a beautiful thing. It's given me the idea that how quickly life goes, how there's so many women who may go in for a pap smear and by the end of the month, they've died from cancer because it was revealed. And so there's so many things that could happen, and I'm not living in the what ifs or unknowns. I'm just saying these are possibilities, and God gave me clarity. And so I'm grateful for that. At the same time, there was an army member in where my husband is deployed, and he is someone that he had worked alongside during this deployment, and during his sleep, this man just died. And so it's just thing after thing where the Lord sort of reminds us that I am God and that I'm going to use life and death for a beautiful reason. And so pay attention to what I'm allowing during the season, because I have something to speak. I have a message to share, and it does include sometimes sickness and sometimes death. And that was just, it was interesting to me that we're coming up to reading this week and teaching this week. And I began to understand how the Lord was putting in front of me these direct or things that were in direct correlation to what I'm talking about. And it just amazes my heart how he not only gives us his word, but he gives us example. And if we're not looking, we're going to completely miss it. Are you looking for God working in your life right now? Are you paying attention while your life is fleeting? So let's go back to verse 16. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Initially, I thought Paul was squirreling again, because we go from scheduling and then straight to boasting. But he has linked them so closely. Think about it. We arrogantly schedule as though our lives are never ending, as though we have not been set apart by God. I mean, like, let that sink into your system. Do you live your life like you have been set apart by the great I am? Okay, so here's another quick snippet out of the book that Sam Alberry says to accentuate that. But he says, if our planning is no different to that of this world, the world around us, what does that say about our faith in Christ? It is not wrong for making some money to be a goal in life. We are to support ourselves and to help others. But it is wrong for it to be a main goal in life. Our plans need to reflect not only the existence of God's will, but its content too. In the light of this, the planning that at first seemed innocuous and sensible now starts to sound more like a little vain. These plans are arrogant schemes. I'm just a side note here. Have you ever thought of your plans as arrogant schemes? Well, let's recognize again, let's accept what that means, that if it's outside of God's will for us, if we have not surrendered that, prayed about it, let God have it, then it's an arrogant scheme. That's us boasting. It goes on to say, they are in fact boasting and evil. They have an arrogant view of the future and of self. They forget God's sovereignty and take no account of God's will. Planning can so easily be little more than the arrogant hot air. We strut and swagger as if we really were something significant. For all our profession of Christian faith, once the calendars come out, it is as if God is no longer there. When it comes to planning, we can so quickly become atheists. Our planning revolves around us. Our self-important agendas are uppermost in our thinking. But if we know God, we should know the good we should be doing. God has shown it to us. To say at that point, my schedule's full, is sin. Says James in verse 17, to not make time and space for the good we ought to do is sin. Oh my goodness. So much going on there. We're going to open that up a little more in the next episode. Thanks so much for joining in. Talk to you soon.